Hey everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast, brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the official sportsbook of RotoViz Radio. I can't say as always, am your host since I've taken a two-week hiatus, Eric Bertzlop, better known on Twitter as at Dynasty Trades. And the boys are back in town, Nathan and Dan, both on the show.
We are here, we are back. I missed last week. The whole house was sick and not fun and... yeah, death to everyone. But we are back, and this is fun. I'm here.
Everyone, I got dark quick.
You know what's fun? I was named Employee of the Month by myself at RotoViz and the Nice Tradecast because I have been running the show the last 2 weeks, just doing all the work. Eric has been slacking, so he values his real job, his full time job, over this. I am on the grind every day for you, RotoVizers.
Yeah, no, I mean, basically I've just been sitting on a beach collecting paychecks for this podcast, Nathan. So thanks for all the hard work, man.
Right. For sure. I appreciate the work both of you guys do because I really don't do anything at all. So it actually works out perfect because I can't ever employ in a month, but I also can't be blamed for a show being bad.
I guess that's true. To be fair, Nathan, the two of us can take glory in the fact that we actually do something for this podcast, whereas Dan just shows up.
C's get degrees, man. C's get degrees. The bare minimum.
All right. Well, week 9 of football is in the books. Well, okay, mostly in the books, with the exception of the Monday night game, which when the show premieres, it will be in the books. But we made it through another week. I mean, it's playoff time now, boys.
We're getting close. You should definitely know if your team is a contender or pretender. Obviously, there's some of those, like 4-5 teams or 5-4 teams after this week where you might not really know and you're just kind of playing it. But at that point, unless you have a really high point total, you should probably just kind of pack it in or try to be annoying and take out some people on your way to the playoffs. But yeah, this is the exciting time. This is what we do this for.
No, 100%. Sorry, go ahead, Nathan.
We always talk about knowing your league format, and I'm in a 10-team league with Dan, and this is my first 10-team dynasty league. And so, throughout the entire season, my team hasn't been very good, but as of late, they've gotten hot, and I snuck into the sixth seed. And so, I was texting with Russell Clay, who's my co-manager. I'm like, "Yo, bro, we're gonna sneak into the playoffs here." And he's like,
"And there's only four teams in the playoffs.
You know that there's only four teams in the playoffs." I'm like, "Damn it! I thought we were going to the playoffs."
There's still time, Nathan. There's still time to sneak in there and pull off a super sneaky, mediocre performance.
It's one of those where the top four teams have a two-game lead on the 5-6 seed. So not much of a chance for me there.
Yeah, my team's falling apart quickly there, though. You're going to sneak in. It's going to be me that gets it. It's how it works. My teams always fall apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, let me, before we get into the show, remind everybody they can get a listeners only 30% discount to RotoViz NFL Pass through the NFL podcast homepage. That's rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and supports this podcast. So if you haven't done that yet, make sure you do that for playoff time when all the games actually count. And you can contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and Twitter at rotovizradio. Also, I want to tell you guys about another one of our sponsors. They support this podcast, mentioned them at the head of the show, and that's mybookie.ag. We've been talking about them for weeks and weeks now. If you haven't gotten a chance to check out mybookie.ag, they're really great. They're still running a deposit bonus, only 50%. So if you missed out on the 100%, that's bad on you, man. That's bad on you. So if you you can also get a $25 casino chip. So that promo code is TradeCast. Like I said, if you're a longtime gambler or you are brand new to gambling on sports, I would highly implore you to check out MyBookie if you haven't yet. Get that 50%, get that $25 casino chip, use the promo code TradeCast. Remember, visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, guys, well, let's dive into the show format here. I put up a poll on Twitter, and it's a sad one. It is just the ghost of football past, of future stardom. Dynasty ADP sunk to new lows. I don't know. I'm going to stop using hyperbole here. It is Martavis Bryant versus Josh Gordon.
I think it's going to get ugly quick. You know what's funny, though? It might end up being a 50-50 until we see Josh Gordon actually get reinstated. Or we actually see Martavis become part of an actual game plan, because they said they're going to, but I don't know. Juju's lighting it up, so this could get ugly for all parties involved.
Yeah, I mean, I still think, for whatever reason, Twitter is just outright enamored with Josh Gordon. Anytime, or actually the Dynasty community in general, but Dynasty Twitter is just, they just can't help themselves. They can't stop loving him. They can't quit him.
I quit Josh Gordon a while ago, but I do have him stashed on a couple of Dynasty rosters just for the sake of it. But I think that this poll and its closeness, that I think, like, I agree with Dan, I think it's going to be close, maybe 55-45 either way. I think that it represents how high the Gordon can rise after just one bit of news. Granted, it's a huge piece of news that he's conditionally reinstated and is likely going to play in the beginning of December. But I think that it's just one arrow going up and one arrow continuing to go down, with Juju Smith-Schuster emerging in Pittsburgh and Martavis not getting traded at the trade deadline. So I think that, I mean, if we're talking strictly who I think is the better NFL wide receiver, I think it's Josh Gordon for sure. But he was that good NFL wide receiver 4 years ago. Who knows if he's still that? Yes, he might still be ripped as Rambo, as Dan mentioned before we started recording. But
which you've never seen before, mind you. You've never seen Rambo.
Rambo 1. I mean, he was all cut up in Rambo 2.
Yeah, so I'll lean Gordon here, but I think that more likely than not, neither of these guys are going to be significant assets on 90s rosters.
Yeah, I think that hits the nail on the head, Nathan, is there's a solid chance that whichever side of this deal you take, it doesn't matter. And both are so cheap right now, although I'm sure the Josh Gordon hype train, I can hear it in the distance, is starting. But they're still both very cheap. So if you really want to have an all-suspended team, you can go out and purchase these two. Okay, let's dive into Week 9. I guess we'll just start right off the bat. So trade deadline wrapped up the day after we did our show last time. So it's a little bit of old news, but stuff that I think is pretty interesting to discuss in a dynasty format. So two big ones, but I guess let's just start with Kelvin Benjamin. Kelvin Benjamin traded to the Bills. What are we thinking of this? The original dynasty meemaw is now a Bill.
Was big ones a lead up as like a fat joke for Kelvin Benjamin? Is that what you were going with there?
Oh. I will not stand here and let you fat shame Kelvin Benjamin.
it was a weird couple of days on Twitter. You heard about all of the Tyrod doesn't throw it into tight windows and Kelvin can't separate. It doesn't matter. It's a target for him to throw to. He needs bodies. I mean, we're finally getting to see some Zay Jones targets. Jordan Matthews, I don't even think has hands at this point. I think they've actually been chopped off. His sternum still is shattered in
pieces.
Ping pong
paddles now. Ping pong paddles.
I think they're actual bricks. They sewed on a couple of bricks. I think this is good for all parties involved. It seemed almost like Kelvin's stay in Carolina was just like, all right, get the heck out of here. We want Funchess. We want McCaffrey. And we get Greg Olsen back soon. So I think it's going to work out better for them. And it gets Buffalo, I mean, considering what Buffalo did by getting rid of Sammy Watkins and, I mean, Robert Woods in the offseason as well. It's, you know, it was a reverse move for them, but it helped considering the current roster as it was. So I think it helps Kelvin Benjamin's his status just a little bit. I don't think we can really move him up, but we're definitely not moving him down because he's got to be the top target there.
Yeah, I guess let me ask this question because Nathan, and I'll toss to you, Nathan, is dynasty value wise. I mean, this has to do very good things for the Funchess dynasty value. But does it really impact the Kelvin Benjamin value? Or is it going to continue to trend down with this trade?
As far as Funchess, I think that obviously the biggest thing for him has been, he's been playing good football. And so that has increased his dynasty value. And then the Panthers show, okay, we can trust this guy as a number one, even if it's not like a pass heavy wide receiver offense, he's the number one in Carolina. Kelvin Benjamin, I mean, I think that the Bills are going out and acquiring him shows two things. I thought initially that it was like, okay, we're giving up on Zay Jones. Not to like, oh, they're going to cut Zay Jones, but I was like, oh, you know, this isn't good news for him. But
yeah, he's not a wide receiver one, right? No, I'm saying Zay Jones, which people were like speculating he could be the wide receiver one after the Watkins trade. I think that's out the window.
I mean, I don't see why it's out the window. Benjamin's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, so I mean, there's no guarantee that he returns. I know, obviously, when you give up a pick, there should be plans of re-signing the guy. But if Zay Jones outplays Benjamin, they might think, okay, let's keep Zay Jones. And I mean, I'm not saying that they'd have to dump him if they kept Benjamin, but I think that there are a number of outcomes that could be Benjamin not staying in Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's talk about the second deal, and that is Jay Ajayi. It was traded to the was traded to the Eagles, and Nathan, I sent you a very drunk tweet over the weekend that made no sense, trying to come down on you for Kenyon Drake, and he went over 100 in that game.
Well, we can wait for my victory lap on Drake. That's later on the rundown.
So it's not going to be. There's no victory lap yet.
We're not even going to allow it. It's not even allowed. Here.
What are you talking about? He scored 19 points on in front of a Sunday night slate. So
he scored as many points as Terrence Williams did.
Who cares about Terrence Williams? He stinks. So can you
Drake? I'm just saying that's irrelevant in one game.
Can you? All right, let's go. And a JJ. I actually like the fit in Philly. I mean, basically, he's a better running LeGarrette Blount who can catch. So I think that he pretty much gets rid of any value for Blount once he, you know, is comfortable with the playbook and can play, you know, 60-70% of snaps. So I do like the landing spot for Ajayi because it's obviously going from Ryan Tannehill to Carson Wentz and how well Wentz is playing now. That's a huge quarterback upgrade.
Okay, let me ask Dan a question then. Does this trade of Ajayi put him back in the second overall ADP value that he had in the offseason?
What?
I'm just second, kidding. Of course it doesn't.
Second
overall? That was my second round overall.
You mean
well,
second round?
According to a Dynasty mock for the month of November I did this week, courtesy of Mr. Ryan McDowell. I don't remember who made the pick, and I'm not going to podcast shame them, but he went at 211, and this was pre...
Ajayi?
This was pre-trade. 211. I was very confused. I'm still confused why anyone would take Jay, just another guy, at 211. But Nathan's right. I mean, being in that Philly offense is huge. That they've been unbelievable this year. I don't think anyone saw this coming. It'd be really nice if that line was completely healthy, but obviously it's not really hurting them at all. I agree with Nathan. It's an upgrade from Blount. Does a lot of the same things, but he can catch some passes. I still think they want to keep Wendell Smallwood a little bit in the mix because he does do some nice things as kind of a change of pace guy.
Dan.
Dude, yeah, his snap count fell completely off.
After Corey Clement.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Clement. I forgot about Clement. Yep. Okay, yeah, we'll stick with Clement there then. I was really surprised when he scored 3 touchdowns, something crazy.
I mean, it was a little fluky, but I mean, yeah, it was. They were just schlacking that poor Broncos team.
Also, that dude runs, I tweeted this out, I don't think it was last week. He runs like a doofus. You ever seen him run?
Jesus. Hashtag now.
Make sure you, if you at Corey Clement and tell him that he runs like a doofus, that'd be great.
I think I said that about him when he was in college, too. that backfield's kind of weird, but that team's doing so well that I think they're all probably going to get their own. I don't know that Blount will get much anymore. I think, like Nathan said, he's just going to probably be relevant when Ajayi's. I mean, you can almost count him out for a couple more games for the rest of the year because he's going to get hurt because that's what he does. But yeah, it's a great fit. Okay, well, I'm still not an Ajayi guy, but yeah, it definitely moves him up.
With the trades, because I think value wise, Benjamin, it sounds like we're not really moving the needle at all. I mean, Ajayi had no touchdowns before he got traded, so I think he got one this week. Is there? I mean, did the value tick? I mean, I joke about him going back to the second round overall of startups, which I don't think is a reasonable expectation. But I mean, this has to tick him up somewhat, right?
Eric, you keep on saying second overall, second round startup pick.
Whatever, Nathan.
Second overall round. there's no way you can get him up that high. I don't even, maybe fourth round. I honestly don't know. I think he's still young enough. And obviously being in this offense helps a lot. The Ajayi truthers are going to go crazy. They're going to want to value him in that second round. But it's just, he's a tough guy for me to evaluate just because of that knee. And I know, that was however many years ago, but he keeps getting hurt and it's just, he keeps getting setbacks. That's the one fallback that I have. It was never been the talent. It's always been that knee.
Yeah, and if you do talk yourself into taking JJ in that third round, I think that will definitely go back to maybe early fifth, mid fifth, once you input the 2018 rookies. So that's definitely something that happens in ADP at the beginning of the offseason every year, is that, you know, people start to cool on veterans, and that will be the case with Ajayi, especially if people are concerned about the Eagles bringing in a rookie running back.
Okay, well, let's move on. I'll go ahead and skip over Josh Gordon unless you guys have any more takes you want to give. I mean, valuation-wise, what is he creeping back into the third-round valuation right now?
Josh
Gordon. I think you'd have to give a second. You'd have to give a second.
This is just so
– it's so outrageous that – I'm not talking about overall startup. But it's still outrageous that this is like – his value just creeps like one good blurb and suddenly he's over the second-round draft pick. It's just like we're all on pins and needles, like – it's like, I feel like we're in the Truman Show, and Josh Gordon is Truman, and it's like we're all just like just dancing around him whenever he does anything.
That's really good, actually. I like that. I don't know that I'm going out and buying, but if people are like, "Oh, I want to sell while this window's open," you know, I mean, I'm throwing an early third or maybe a late second at it because those are dart throws as it is. There's no way you're going to get me to give up like a top 18 pick, but. If I can get him for something later than that, I might take a shot depending on the squad that I'm looking at. You know, if I need some wide receiver depth or just, you know, have an overabundance of picks and I need someone with some real upside, that's probably the best kind of dart you can throw. We just have to hope that he gets back to even a little bit of what he was, because he was a superstar at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I can't even wrap my head around this. I mean, I was on the Josh Gordon train at one point. I'll go down with the ship. Bye, Felicia. But if you have him, you can't. I mean, if you have him, I don't think you can sell him for a third. Like, you've held on this long, like, you might as well see it to the end.
You can't hold on for 3 years and just kind of, okay, well, time to get out now. I mean, you've had plenty of opportunities to drop him. There was plenty of times where it seemed like he had no chance of coming back.
Right.
But those little blurbs keep coming out, and it's like giving a little bit of a crack rock to a crackhead occasionally. And, oh, I got to keep getting my fix.
Jesus. I mean, if there's a second good blurb, Twitter, I don't know if you know this or not, he skyrockets right to a first-round pick, immediately valued right there, if there's a second nice blurb about him. So look out.
Oh, the reinstatement will get him to like a late first, early second. If he actually gets reinstated, he will absolutely get into that valuation because of what he was.
Yeah, if he plays, I'll say not reinstated, I'll say if he plays on the NFL football field in 2017 and scores a touchdown, instantly worth a late first.
Yeah, and if he scores two touchdowns, people are giving away Saquon Barkley for him. Okay, let's move on. Nathan, I have in the notes here that it's your victory lap, so let's move on right now to Goff and Wentz. All right, Nathan, you want to take one quick victory lap for Drake? You want to just
well,
keep
I
it?
I already took it that I was, you know, acquiring him for late seconds, early thirds during rookie draft season this year. And that is clearly paying off as he's the number one running back in that Dolphin offense, which is still a terrible offense. That's why I talked about with JHIA getting out of that offense. But Drake is a guy who's going to be able to get the receiving production and is going to make some big plays. So,
but that's,
he's a guy that's going to be a start in deeper flex league. So.
Is he gonna? I mean, the Dolphins are gonna go draft another running back next year, right? Like, they're not. This is not their solution at running back. Right?
They spent some draft capital on him. Was he a second round pick in the NFL draft?
Yeah, I understand he was.
He was an early third, and he was the third running back taken after Todd Gurley, Melvin.
Right, that's what it was. Third overall. Okay, so I mean, they've got a little bit invested in him, and they really haven't seen anything until now. You know, Ajayi's been there. Lamar Miller was there. Was there overlap there? I don't know if there was overlap.
Yeah,
there. Whatever.
No. Yeah, there was overlap. Miller was there.
No, Drake was a rookie last year, wasn't he?
Right.
No.
Okay. But still, you know, Ajayi was there, and they weren't going to take Ajayi out for Kenyon Drake. But now we get to see him. You know, Damian Williams is. I mean, he's a good NFL player. I don't know that he's. You know, I don't know that he's the guy there, but they seem to want to give him most of the work. But Drake showed to be able to do more with what the touches he was given. I think it's probably just going to be a committee type situation unless one of them truly takes off. I don't think that would be Damian Williams. I think Kenyon Drake has a better opportunity to do that. I think he can do more than Damian Williams. But, you know, honestly, those guys are both probably – I'm definitely rosterable, and I think it might even be startable some weeks depending on matchups, because they're probably going to both get a decent number of touches. And people will say, well, Ajayi couldn't do anything there. it seemed like Ajayi didn't really want to be there. And that, you know, they maybe didn't want him to be there as much as he didn't want to be there. And it just kind of all moved on. So
yeah, British guys hate Miami. It's a well-known fact.
I mean, they traded him for a shekel. So
let me circle this thing back around to what our show is all about, and that's dynasty value. Because I think Drake's an interesting discussion point for what his value's at right now. Because prior to this happening, he was a third, fourth round pick, I think, with Ajayi on the roster and him not doing squat. What did his value shoot to with the Ajayi trade?
I don't think he's a guy that you're going to see move very often, because those who have him invested in early to mid second. And I think that would be the absolute max that you could get for him right now. So I didn't take him in that early to mid second just to sell him 2 years later for the same thing. So I think that he won't be moved unless he has another couple good games and then someone forks over a late first.
Okay. Would you be willing to sell your beloved Kenyon Drake for a first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's – I don't think you can hang on to him for even an early second. I think you might have to bail on. But like Nathan said, if you were invested into him as an early second or a mid-second, it doesn't make a ton of sense to just, you know, get your cash back and walk away. It's not a – you know, it's not a very good investment for your team. I think if you could go out and get him for a late second, I think that would be absolutely a good idea, at least for the time being. I think he can bring you some, as we make the playoff run here, I think he could be of real use to you, especially as we get to these last couple of bye weeks. You need to solidify your team, get a couple more wins on your way into the playoffs, get yourself a good seed. He's one of those guys that can do it. I think he's definitely, you know, maybe like a low-end RB2, high-end RB3. So, you know, go get him if you can get him for a late second, early third.
Yeah, and I think that window's closed, but definitely worth shopping around. Unless Nathan's in your league, then I already know I'm not touching Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, so, no chance.
He covets it just ridiculously. Okay, let's move on to a quarterback we thought was washed out and a quarterback that Dan still insists is not good. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Wait, are you backing off this? I think Carson Wentz is bad train.
Adam, Sticky from DLF. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so I'm just going to call him Adam. I think it's Zykus, maybe. So he sent out a tweet about being wrong about Alvin Kamara. So I, you know, quoted it and said, oh, we're going to do this today. All right. I was wrong about Carson Wentz. He's good. I didn't expect him to take a step into like top 10 quarterback status. I figured he'd get better this year. I didn't think he'd make the progression that he did. He's lights out right now. Obviously, the touchdowns are a little bit unsustainable. I don't think that's even close to being able to maintain, but he's doing it, and he's looking good while doing it, just tearing teams up. Now he's got an offense around him. He's got a solid offensive line, and I don't think there's any coming back from it. I think you have to have him comfortably in like that top five or six dynasty quarterback. I know a lot of people have him at like two or three right now because of the injuries and whatnot.
I've heard some rumblings of one overall as well.
Yeah, you're not going to get me there because I'd still prefer Dak at this point. But I'm, you know, Dak's always been my guy ever since he took over for Romo. That preseason game, he was my guy. I claimed him as my guy.
You were the only person to like Dak, Dan.
Yeah, I was the only person. He was mine at that point. But yeah, Wentz.
Where were you during the draft, damn it? All right, let Nathan talk to me about. I guess elaborate if you could on your thoughts on Wentz, and then let's pivot to Goff.
All right, Wentz, like Danny, he's a guy that I doubted during the draft process. Doubted, you know, coming out of the small school and being a guy that didn't start until his midway through his second year. So, you gotta love Wentz right now in the offense that he's in with Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar is having a resurgence. The last week's episode, is Nelson Aguilar legit? I believe he is.
Appears he is, yes.
Yeah, so I think that Wentz, he's a guy that is going to be on that. I think we talked about this last week where he's in the argument along with the Watson, the Dak, the Jameis Winston, which lower and lower on Winston.
Get Jameis the entire hell out of there. Not even in the conversation. Mariota, yes. Winston, get him out.
That's crazy we're here. I mean, when people were buying Winston, I mean, I know that I sold Winston for Aaron Rodgers in a piece in a league that I play in 2QB, Nathan.
Yeah, you gave up Deion Kane, who's going to be a very good NFL wide receiver, and a Debbie spot. So there you go.
I did indeed. And then he got hurt, and I'm not going to win this year because of it. I had to go make a trade for Keenum and Brissett, and it hurt my brain to get taken by Ryan McDowell. Ryan, I know you're listening to this. It was a painful trade to make. All right, let's move on. Yeah, I mean, actually, I guess I'll elaborate real quick on Goff and Wentz. Goff seems like the real deal. I think people are still sleeping on him. If you're not – I mean, I think Goff can be purchased relatively cheap, and that offense looks borderline, dare I say, like prolific. You took you take Jeff Fisher out of the offense, and suddenly it's like insane. So I don't know. I think Goff's a really nice buy right now. If the guy's not too high on him. And you know, really, I throwing a couple feelers out. It just doesn't seem like anybody's really drinking the Kool-Aid too much. Like, nobody's got Goff as like a top six QB, right?
No one's super bullish quite at this point. You know, he's been good.
I'm not saying he is a top six, for the record. I'm just saying, like, there's some, like, somebody's obsessed with Wentz so much that he's the first overall, then nobody's even on Goff like that.
Right, and people have been obsessed with Wentz since the drafts. You know, that's just how ignorant Philadelphia fans are. Goff is moving up, man. I preferred him to Wentz. I still don't really think either one of these guys are going to be very good coming into the NFL last year, but we see what, you know, not having Jeff Fisher being there and how good Sean McVay is. That team has done a complete 180. They're playing some really good football right now. I think Goff, you have to have in that maybe like top 10, 12 range for sure. He's not quite to that Wentz status yet, but I think they'll keep progressing and he might get there by year's end.
Okay. What would you guys
what do we think of Goff?
Sorry, go ahead, Nathan. You're probably going to ask the same question I was.
So what obviously one QB is basically the price of mid late second, but what do we think the price for Goff is in Superflex? Because in one league, I offered like a late first and some change and basically got laughed out of the building. So how far off would a late first be? Do you think would it take an early first or maybe a mid first and like a mid second? What would you be willing to deal for Goff and what would you be willing to deal him for?
You know, buying Goff for a mid first, as crazy as it sounds in a two QB league, is not out of the realm of possibility. That puts him in the third round startup valuation. Hopefully I said that right, Nathan. Something like that. I don't know. It seems probably appropriate, especially if this team keeps hanging 30 points on everybody they play this year. And he's producing at a really, really high level. So I don't think your late first and change is really that. It's not offensive. I think that if all of our listeners go out and offered that in their super flex leagues, that at least 50% of the people would bite on it. I don't think that that's nuts. So I don't know. I think that's a fair valuation, but it's probably going to take more to actually move the needle towards like a significant number of people actually accept that trade offer.
Yeah, and a lot of it depends on your team makeup and, you know, if you're competing, if you need a quarterback now, if it's a future buy. But, you know, in a vacuum, it's realistically to go legitimately buy him, you've got to be probably just, you know, just a little bit higher than a mid first, maybe in that 104 range. I really don't know. Realistically to sell, you'd probably need anything just after, you know, 101 or Barkley, if you want to call it that at this point. I'm probably just going to hang on to him unless I can get some good actual players back rather than draft picks. But yeah, buy, I'd probably be in that mid first range. Sell, it's going to have to be a high one, or, you know, equivalent in players.
Yes. It's crazy.
Well, Dan,
sorry, go ahead.
Dan, let's get Debbie with it for a second. Is Rosen your QB1 right now?
No. I'm a Lamar Jackson. I'm a 1A, 1B Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield.
So Lamar Jackson or Goff?
Boy, I mean, strictly talent-based, I'd go Lamar, but knowing that Goff has an offense and a head coach that believes in him, you probably have to go Goff at this point.
Yeah, I'd go Goff as well over my QB1, who is Rosen, just because he's in such a great situation with the offensive coordinator offense and Todd Gurley, and then maybe Sammy Watkins next year as well. And Robert Woods has played some very good football this year, so I think he's definitely one of the more underrated assets in Dynasty right now. I don't think that you can really trade for Robert Woods right now because, you know, people are in playoff mode. They see, oh, this guy just scored like 26 points for me. So they're not going to deal Woods for anything less than like a late first. So
I don't know. You might get somebody who sells high though, Nathan. I mean, that wouldn't be crazy to me that somebody's like, oh, finally I can unload Woods here.
I mean, if you're just like loaded and like Woods is like your wide receiver eight, then maybe. But I think that typically if you're a playoff team and you're starting Woods on a weekly basis, you're going to not really be selling him right now.
I think Woods is legit. I mean, he's an every week starter at this point. I mean, you know, Watkins has that high variance where he could go for 80 and a touchdown, but he'll only have the one catch or maybe two catches. But Woods has been putting up some really solid numbers. And with Goff emerging like this, he seems to be kind of his go-to almost. And obviously Gurley is Gurley. But yeah, it'd be tough to even move away from Woods, especially if you're contending. If you're on the other side of that, though, I mean, get what you can for Woods now, because we don't know if, you know, how this will change in the future. If they bring Watkins back, if Woods is back, you know, whatever it happens to be. But yeah, Woods, I think, is an every week starter for the time being.
Interesting. I haven't thought much about Woods at all. I'm not going to lie to you. So that's a nice kind of like sneakier buy that might not be on other people's radars or listeners' radars, because it definitely wasn't on mine. Let's pivot over to another stellar young quarterback. And actually, it's really just sad. Deshaun Watson had a non-contact injury and is out for the season. Tore his ACL in practice this week. I mean, A, it's brutal for the Texans. B, it's brutal just in general, because he's legitimately a good dude and he's exciting to watch. I know I've said I don't necessarily believe his hype is merited right now, but it's still just highly unfortunate. I mean, I'll go ahead and hop into the ring first here and just give my token. Injured players are discounted. In this case, I'm not sure we're going to see much of a discount, having Watkins been so hyped this season. I think we're going to see him hang right around the same valuation. So I think you're going to see a lot of Watson holding or shifting around if somebody was a contender, which is highly likely if you had Watson, that they're going to be shifting, trying to get like a piece to win the league.
This
is another thing that we talked about pre-show, and I think that the only way you see a Watson move is if it's a guy who's a team who's competing, particularly in Superflex, and you're just like, all right, I'm going to swap one young quarterback for another. You trade a Watson for a Mariota, or you trade a Watson for a Goff, or maybe even Watson plus for Wentz. So I think that the way Watson gets moved is if it's a contending team and someone's just looking to do a young quarterback swap.
Yep, that's literally what I was about to say. I think that's the only way you can move him. Otherwise, you've got to throw him on IR and hope to get through. Go throw some picks at somebody for a different quarterback if that was your guy, and you maybe made a move right before the injury to go get him. But yeah, that whole process was just gross. Especially, it looked like there was maybe some doctors and stuff that said that the injury potentially happened during the game in Seattle. It was initially injured there, and then it maybe like just popped in practice. Yes. I don't know if that's been disproven yet, but that just makes the whole process even worse. Because I just feel bad for the dude, because he was flying so high. Good kid. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I'm not sure we have a whole lot more to say on this. So let's move on to another topic here and keep the show moving. Fournette was benched this. It was like a surprise breaking news that Fournette wasn't going to. He was a surprise inactive. I don't make much of this. I think it's just the ignorant head coach in the NFL, yep, like slinging his like my way or the highway around, and like I don't know. I just fail to believe that Fournette did anything that bad. I think he just broke team policy, and they still beat my Bengals.
It's Marone flexing. That's all it is. But this again goes to show you that maybe running backs don't matter all that much. Obviously, Leonard Fournette is an elite running back. He's a superstar in the NFL. But that team didn't change at all without him. They were still very good. So there's nothing to the Fournette thing. It's just a 1 week blunder. The bigger issue is that he's healthy. We need to make sure that foot's right, and they keep an eye on it. Maybe that was part of the suspension. Maybe it was just a low key, like, hey, we didn't put you on the injury report. We don't want to lose a draft pick, so we're gonna sit you down, boy.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead, Nathan.
There we go. Stay woke from Dan. Actual injury/suspension. Yeah, I mean, I don't discount him in Dynasty at all. It's one of those things that's just frustrating that, as you know, in Europe, in a playoff run, like, really, I can't start Fournette right now. So, more of a frustration than anything. And as we've talked about before, frustrated Dynasty owners can become panickers. I don't think you're going to get anyone selling low, particularly on Fournette, but I think that if you sent someone an offer for Fournette that they laughed off on Saturday, they might take a second look on Sunday after an immature move of getting suspended.
Yep. All right, let's move on. Mike Evans was suspended for let's lump Evans and AJ Green together for boneheaded on the field play. Evans got suspended for a game and AJ Green did not. He just got ejected from the game. I assume that's what they viewed as his suspension. Any takeaway here? I mean, I just have a tough time getting behind either of these actually being real stories.
No, I don't think there's any real story to it. It is nice to see some fire from AJ Green. I think he's finally sick of Marvin Lewis. He's sick of Andy Dalton. That whole franchise is due for some changes. And you know, the AJG getting, you know, obviously we're a dynasty podcast, but it was kind of weird to see that AJ didn't get an extra game. I mean, I understand he missed half of it. But Evans not getting ejected from the game and then getting suspended was kind of bush leaguey. I think he probably should have gotten tossed in the game and then not been suspended, but I mean, that's just something you can't really control. But yeah, nothing to change any values here. It's a, you know, it's athletes getting upset.
Totally.
I mean, the only takeaway I have is that the Bucks are terrible and they're just,
yes,
so
the Bucks are in fact very ungood.
Very ungood. All right. Let's go to the last point that I'm seeing here and talk about Kareem Hunt. What is Andy Reid doing this week? Giving him like 10 carries. What? I mean, just, it's like Jamaal Charles all over again.
You can't teach a guy like that to, you know, to change his ways. He's going to have those games. He gets his mindset one way, and all of a sudden Charcandrick West has like 14 catches for 16 yards and Hunt's just riding the pine. You know, there might be something to it behind the scenes, but yeah, Kareem Hunt still, you know, you got to put him up in that upper echelon of running backs. It sucks, but you know, that's just part of the Andy Reid game. He makes coaching look pretty difficult sometimes.
Yeah, it's really brutal.
Yeah, I think that the big takeaway is that some of the early season shine that catapulted Kareem Hunt into being a top five back, it's definitely faded a bit because, you know, he isn't scoring the points that he was and he's not winning you games single-handedly. So there is definitely a buying opportunity. Out of all the buy-low opportunities we've talked about in the show, I think that Hunt has the most legitimate one. Not saying that he's going to return to being that guy that he was week one, week two, but
sure. But we never thought that was sustainable to begin with.
No, but I think that, you know, people were paying prices like it was sustainable at that point.
Yeah.
And now we're that far removed from it. And he's had a couple down weeks. So now people are not necessarily panicking, but he's definitely buyable when he really wasn't before.
So, I mean, let's toss around some valuations of prices we would be comfortable paying for Kareem Hunt. If we could go out and purchase a Kareem Hunt, this seems like a great week to do it when his mortality shows up after Andy Reid's him. What kind of trade offer would you be sliding into people's DMs with?
I'd give any first that's not 101.
Yep.
You think that? I mean, I don't think that's enough to get the job done, though. I don't think one first.
I think it could. I think if you have a first that looks like 102, 103, maybe you throw in like, you know, the 102 and like Mitchell Trubisky in a one QB league, or like just a prospect that, you know, is just worth watching, that might get it done. But I mean, you'd be surprised A, how much people value those, you know, top 2-3 picks, and B, how much people are dumb and forget that Kareem Hunt is ridiculously good.
Yeah, I agree.
Nathan talks about it earlier. People like to panic. It's just kind of one of those things. And Hunt's probably just a little bit gassed. He's probably a little bit banged up. He's not used to life in the NFL. So he's got to catch his breath a little bit. He'll be fine after the bye, I think. He just needs to get back. So, yeah, go out and offer an early first, a non-101. And like Nathan said, throw in something of, you know, value that could be seen as, you know, kind of a nice dart throw. but doesn't really do anything for your team, and it gets you a high-end, you know, high-end asset. I think that's just kind of what you have to go do if you really are trying to buy him. Otherwise, you might have to give up, you know, a mid wide receiver two type, and that might not even get it done. It just kind of depends on the owner you're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kareem Hunt right now is a great, there's a great buy window right now, especially if you're like out of it right now. You can, if you have that 102, 103, that seems like a really wise purchase to get it done.
Speaking of those draft picks, by the way, Eric, why don't we talk about our other sponsor, Draft, in the Draft app? They still roll hot and heavy every single week. You still got drafts going on like every minute. It's super fun, you guys. If you haven't gone in there, you can use our promo code RVRadio and you get a free game when you sign up. So go throw a few bucks in there. You get a free game just to try it out. The drafts are really cool. It's, you know, you get like 30-second draft timers and you burn through. And instead of spending a certain allocation on players like you would with DraftKings or FanDuel, you get to actually do a draft. And that's what we all love. So it's really fun. Plus you can do there's a dream team game format as well, where you can just pick who you think the top scorers are going to be at the given positions every week. I think it's like one quarterback, two running backs, and a wide receiver / tight end spot. And that one's really fun too, because you just take shots, and they have all sorts of different games. So yeah, get in there. That's our promo code RVRadio. Get a free game and go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, stay tuned for my app and development trade, which is going to be DFS with trading. So, in development.
Oh, I see. That's a million dollar idea right there.
Trade.
Horrible. Okay, with that Kareem Hunt discussion, let's move on to two players that, I mean, I think are really tough to value, and I think are staying very difficult to value, and that's Amari Cooper and Sammy Watkins. What are we doing with these two guys? They're killing us.
It's a weird spot. I think Cooper kind of lives and dies with Carr right now. It's kind of weird, but Crabtree hasn't really been, you know, all that great. That offense really hasn't been all that great. They've had like one strong week. Well, it seems like all year. Obviously, Cooper had that monster week, but it's just kind of a weird place. That team just doesn't seem right. Obviously, we kind of talked about Watkins a little bit with Goff. He's going to have his big games and he's going to have his misses. He's kind of, I think I said it before, he's a high variance guy, it seems, at this point. But he's got to get some. They've got to get him more targets. But when they're blowing people out and they're putting up 50 burgers, it doesn't really matter for them to get him more targets. I think we need to see him with more targets earlier in the game for us to really consider him in that wide receiver one category that he was in for the longest time. I think he's more in that mid wide receiver two range, maybe early wide receiver two. But he absolutely has the potential to be a one. I still have Amari Cooper in that wide receiver one range, which realistically they should probably both be a wide receiver two, but my Amari love knows no bounds. So
that's outrageous. So you still got him as a wide receiver one, huh?
Yeah, I've moved him behind more of the people that I had him in front of. So
I'd like picture you and Ryan McDowell like on the Titanic, and like you're holding, you're like Ryan McDowell's holding on to you while you're floating in the water, and you guys are not going to let go of Amari Cooper.
We did that in Chicago and we hung out for a few hours. It was just, we talked about Amari Cooper, like, held hands.
You like filled up the bathtub with ice water and got in. Like what did you guys do?
Full smooch sesh. That's just how it goes. Talked about Amari Cooper. That's what you do when you're with Ryan McDowell.
Teamed up that abandoned car downstairs is what you're saying.
You talk about Amari Cooper and you talk about Randall Cobb, and that's it. You don't need to have any other discussion topics. You can go for days talking with Ryan.
Okay. What? I guess I'll kick to Nathan because I don't even know what to say to that.
my take, I've been on the Watkins is underrated, Watkins is being undervalued train, and I think I'm moving more towards Watkins is valued correctly. And that like late second, early third round startup value. And I think that it's now Amari Cooper is overvalued because I think he should be valued similarly to Sammy Watkins, but people still find Cooper to be the safer play and the guy who is going to have the better future. So I think that they should be valued similarly. and I'm moving from Sammy is undervalued to Sammy is correctly valued.
Well, I mean, I think both still have a nice buy window. It's just, I mean, you've just got to hold on to your butt and make the purchase, right? Like it's like Samuel L. Jackson in Jurassic Park, like hold on to your butts.
And I mean, can we have a conversation about where they should be going in the wide receiver groupings? I mean, obviously you have OBJ, Evans, no, Julio. What?
No, I'm just kidding. We can have that conversation.
Oh, okay.
We just asked if we could.
I just want to figure out where they're going, right? Because we have OBJ, Evans, Julio, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins is up there now. Who else is there? I mean, AJ Green, maybe he's been spotty. But I mean, these guys are probably closer to that Brandon Cooks, range. And I hate pushing either one of them back that far. I still would prefer Amari, but I'm not sure that I would prefer Sammy at this point. I think Cooks has almost built himself in a little bit of a floor when before he was the biggest boom bust guy that there was. And now it seems like T.Y. Hilton's falling into that mold a little bit. So where are we slotting these guys in for, you know, I guess what would we prefer? Would you prefer a Brandon Cooks or Sammy Watkins, Nathan?
Cooks over Watkins right now.
That's crazy. Okay. I mean, it's crazy just that we're here.
No, I won't say it. I'd still take Cooper over Cooks, but it's very like literally if you gave me like a mid second, I would take that side, whether it's with Cooks in a second or Cooper in a second. I'll take the second along with it.
Yeah, I mean it's probably gotten to that point. I still don't know that I would make that deal, but I really can't. You really can't talk anybody off that ledge. I mean, what about AJ Green? Would you take AJ Green over both of them?
I would take AJ Green easily over both of them.
I wouldn't take AJ Green. I would have AJ behind Sammy, Amari, Keenan Allen, all those guys, Cooks.
Wow. So the age cliff is hit. I'm still not there. He's still a first round guy for me.
Yeah, I think he's back in, maybe early second for me. But I think if you took AJ Green, Watkins, and Cooper, I think those are three you could have a legitimate discussion about as to who should go in that next spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're going to find is Watkins and Cooper just aren't going to move. There's not going to be that many deals with them, though, for almost the same reason that Nathan talked about earlier, where if you bought them, you believed in them and loved them and paid a fortune to get them or drafted them super early in your dynasty rookie draft, that you're to abandon ship now after a bad half year. You know, Watkins is in a new system, so maybe he just hasn't figured out his spot yet. Cooper's in... I don't know what's going on in Oakland, but he's not. I mean, it's only been a bad half of a season. So, I think you're gonna have a tough time prying those guys out of anybody's hands.
Yeah, you can't really take an L out. I mean, if you pay top 10 prices for which I'm guessing most people did. Some people probably got lucky and got Sammy, you know, mid second ish. But realistically, when you were acquiring these guys, they were first round pick. So you can't really take a top 5 or a top 10 pick and then just be okay settling for like a top 24 asset. It's if you bought that high, you can't really sell low if that's what you're planning on doing. You just stick it out, give them a little more time. I think both are still elite talents. We just need to see them get more looks and we need some more consistency out of them. Obviously Amari's still getting the looks, but he's got to stick with it. There's something going on.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, and Watkins, he might not even be with the Rams next year. This is the last year of his contract, right? So he could be in a whole different situation next year, or he could assimilate into that offense and be the number one. So, okay, let's do that. Let's take that discussion and wrap up the show since we're now going a little bit long. Do want to remind Twitter you guys, what's it? Go ahead, Nathan.
No, that was me. Twitter poll.
Oh, let me – sorry, you guys cut me off there. Let's check the Twitter poll. To wrap up the show, it is 56% Josh Gordon, 44% Martavis Bryant. Twitter loves them, Josh.
Wow.
Yep, and he's not even reinstated yet. As of this podcast, Josh Gordon not reinstated.
Well, he's conditionally reinstated.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, not
He's not on an active roster.
There you go. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
That's insane. I mean, I do get it. I totally understand because yep. everyone is so in love with Josh Gordon, but come on.
That's pretty good. Okay. As we wrap up the show, I want to make sure to remind you guys, go rate and review the pod. 5-star reviews are always appreciated, and nice things always make us blush. So, thanks to all those that have rated and reviewed, and like I said, it helps Twitter or it helps users find our podcast when they search Dynasty content. So if you enjoy this Dynasty content, help others find it as well. So I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up the show for Nathan, Dan, and myself. The boys are back in town, and hopefully we'll just keep this train going, guys, and not let Nathan run shows on his own.
Don't lie.